Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
This is State of Emergency.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Monday.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Absolutely, Fran. How are you doing on this lovely Sunday, hot and sweaty afternoon?
Hot. It is right. If it was, this was like a helicopter weather report, it's a scorcher out there, ladies and gentlemen. It is hot, but only fitting because it's Rhea's birthday. Woo-hoo! Rhea is 23 today. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much, Francesca.
Birthday's over when everybody's listening, but today is your birthday.
It might as well just be 2 days if you guys want to do that. That's fine.
We can absolutely extend.
Fran, you made my birthday weekend the best possible birthday weekend because obviously, it's a sweet message to you. Because right now you can't do much. You can't go out and party. Last year we went to two clubs and two nights in a row for my birthday. Yeah. That's how we like to do it.
I didn't even send them to you. I got to send them to you. I had some Snapchat memories that were just unbelievable.
It was the best times, I have to say. Yeah. Really, we had the best times. Two clubs in a row this year, that's not happening. But Francesca and I went on a lovely double date with our boyfriends Friday night because Sunday we both have to work. I am going to dinner later, but it's more of a work day because we're doing the podcast. Hank works. So we went to a lovely dinner, seafood dinner, that Fran and her boyfriend picked out. They did a marvelous job. We drank a lot of drinks. We drank some wine. We made some TikToks, drunk TikToks. If you guys missed
those,
you really missed out. No, Fran was loving it. She was like, whenever our boyfriends ran away, we'd be like, okay, let's make a TikTok.
Ran
away. Yes. I feel like they ran away from us. I mean, like, I stepped away.
We stopped to get ice cream on our way home, and we stayed in the car while they ran out to get the ice cream. And as soon as they left, Rhea was like, okay, quick, we're making a TikTok.
Well, it's my only time I can get you in one. So I'm like,
I know.
If Fran is drunk and she's vulnerable and she's with me, there's going to be a TikTok.
To do a TikTok. Yeah. We did have a great time. The food was great. Just like a very, like you said, there's not a lot of things we can do to celebrate, but it was good to just do a little something.
A little something. We got drunk. Yeah. It was the first time I've gotten drunk in like a while, I have to say. Today I'm about two blunts deep, so I'm feeling good, but no alcohol in my system just yet.
Yeah, you know, so it's also funny because I started the Kissing Booth 2 on Friday and I did not time it up properly because one, I was not expecting the movie to be like 2 hours and 10 minutes. So I started it too late and thought like maybe I would sneak in a way to finish it. I didn't. I ended up leaving the house with like 30 minutes left. And then after we had gone to dinner and we had a wonderful time, I come home and I watched the last 30 minutes and like I know what happens, but like I don't know what happens. Like I gotta go watch the last 30 minutes again. Because I think I have a picture of myself that I sent to you of me watching it on my iPad, and I'm like crying. Like it was really emotional. Like I'm looking at my iPad, like with, it's like a profile shot as I'm watching on my iPad, action shot of me watching.
You would think you were watching The Notebook.
Yeah, that's, it was just the end of The Kissing Booth 2. Right. So
we'll talk about The Kissing Booth 2 in one of our topics. So if you didn't watch it, you could skip it. But if you did watch it, then you'll hear our recap. What else is going on? Like we said, we just had a great weekend. That it is what it is. Had some fun times. And can you believe it's the end of July?
I know. I was just going to say,
it feels very strange.
It is. And obviously
it feels like it's April.
I know. Obviously because of how hot it has been in our area. It's just been like a heat wave. It's been killer that it just is the dog days, as you know, it makes the summer feel
Noah called it the dog longer. Days of summer the other day days. And I'm just obsessed with that now,
because he's right, this is it, the heat wave we're having, the end
can we
of
do
August.
A Noah check-in, he hasn't talked in a while. Noah,
I'm doing just fine, guys, thank you for checking
okay
in.
This is a little moment for Noah and his mom and their dog. Follow Noah's dog on Instagram.
Yes, yep. Follow Murray
the Swissy.
Yes. Great follow. I already love all of his posts. They're very animated and perfect. Like, that's how you got to run a dog Instagram. I love them. Following in Norman's very big footsteps when it comes to running an Instagram account.
Norman got scouted in the park the other day. I didn't even tell.
You guys.
Oh, but Norman, I didn't say it on the podcast.
Yes.
So
that dog. He's meant for greatness.
He's meant for greatness is right. He was, at the park the other day, not the dog park, just we went to a park near us that has tennis courts because Hank was going to play with PFT and Jake.
Yes.
So I was like, you know what? Let's just bring Norman. He's going to stay close. I'm tired of not bringing him outside. I know he's got to get his shots. He has most of them. They said usually it's fine. So it's mostly concrete. You know, it's like by the water, but there's some patches of grass, whatever. There's two women. They come up to me and they're like, does this dog have an Instagram yet? And I was like, yeah, of course he does.
Sure does.
Teeny weeny Normie, check it out. And they look at him and they're like, oh, we have our community Instagram of all the dogs. And I'm like, okay, I'll follow you guys. And they're like, well, follow back, like send us a picture of him. And as they're walking away, I hear them whisper to each other, wow, that dog's a star. And I got goosebumps. I could not have been more proud of Norman. I couldn't have been more proud of me and Hank. It was a beautiful moment, and I just love what everyone is saying about him. Oh, my cousin made Norman Chicks in the Office merch.
So,
and it's
so cute.
Beautiful. He's going to be wearing it soon, as soon as it fits.
I love it. And it's so funny. Now, anytime I see his Instagram and I say, like, teeny weeny normie, like, to myself, eeny meeny miny, eeny meeny, the Justin Bieber song starts playing in my head.
Yep.
Except with Norman. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, Norman. You know? Eeny, meeny, miny, miny, no, Norman. Yep. It works. I'm not going to lie. It fits, but it's good. Look, you and Hank you have that new parent glow.
Thank you.
Even Hank, like, Hank was so cute. And even when I was just like, how's it going? He's like, it's great. I love him.
Yeah, Hank's obsessed with him, as he should be. I mean, it would be alarming if he wasn't. Then we'd have some problems, but no.
Definitely.
It's beautiful, Fran. And I think it's time to get into the podcast because some great things happened this week.
Fantastic things.
We woke up and it was like Taylor Swift announced new album coming tonight. There's going to be a One Direction reunion of some sort. We'll get to that. Demi Lovato's engaged. And then, boom, on Friday, Outer Banks Season 2 was announced. We obviously also talked about Kissing Booth 2, so if you watched, you can listen to that. But we are going to get started with Demi Lovato's big news.
Can I pay back to the bad bitch? And baby, I'm the baddest. You fucking with a savage. Can't have this, can't have this. And it'd be nice for me to take it easy on ya, but nah.
Fantastic. fantastic news for everybody. Amazing. Demi Lovato is engaged. We can believe in love again. We are so excited. And guys, this is just all we ever wanted for Demi. We couldn't be happier, as if she is our own best friend.
I know. I am truly so thrilled for her. I feel like this is the perfect thing for her. And obviously a lot of people, like, it's happened quickly. They haven't been together that long. But clearly they are obsessed with each other. They're very much in love. It's just been so emotional for her. She's been so happy with him. And I also think his name is Max Eric, and he is he's an actor, but I think, you know, he does some
soap. Wait, is it Eric or Elric?
Eric. I watched one interview with him to check, and they said Max Eric, which I'm going to stick with. He does some soaps.
Oh, there's no L. Okay, that makes sense.
Yes. He's very, very cute. And I feel like this is the perfect person for Demi, because it's someone who's like in the Hollywood world, but not like crazy famous that brings in a lot of attention to them. They can still kind of do their own thing. I always thought that if she was going to end up with, like, the person she would settle down with would be someone that wasn't famous, just so like that there was a little bit more of that balance there. It's so hard when the two people are so famous. So I feel like this is a perfect, perfect dynamic. And the ring, holy moly.
My jaw dropped when I saw that ring. Holy shit. I was like, wow, he went all out. And like you said, yes, it's not that he's super famous, but he's in the world, so I'm sure he gets it. It's kind of the same thing with Ariana Grande. Of course, she's not engaged yet. I don't think she would make that same mistake twice. But it seems like this relationship must be going great from her, because we haven't heard about it at all.
She did post on, I guess it was Friday, was her, what she said, her miracle day. And she wrote this beautiful note, and she just seems like she's in such a good place right now. She wrote, "Today is my miracle day. I'm so blessed to have one. It represents how the doctors at Cedars-Sinai saved my life, how my life has become something beyond my wildest dreams. Only 2 years after that terrible day, I'm engaged to the love of my life, and I can genuinely say I feel free of my demons. Each and every one, I never thought this feeling was possible. And it's not just because I fell in love, although that didn't hurt, but because over the past 2 years, I've done more work on myself than I have in my entire life. Things that used to keep me down for weeks or even months passed like tropical storms, because my relationship with God has provided me infinite security. Long before I had an engagement ring on my ring finger, I had the word me to remind myself that no matter what, I vow to love myself. You can't fully love another without loving yourself first. Thank you, God, for this peace and understanding, but most of all, for giving me the strength to fight through all my darkest times. Thank you to my family, friends, and fans for always supporting me and respecting my privacy regarding this journey. I love you all."
First off, I want to say I cried when I first read that. Yep. I was just so happy for Demi.
I know.
Obviously.
And the video of her, like, in the car, like the black and white, and she's so emotional. And yeah.
Second thing, we had talked about this months ago, or a month or two ago, when we said that Demi Lovato might be getting engaged. And it was kind of like, oh shit, is that going to happen? Is this some fake news that's being spread around? Because, you know, we've seen it more and more lately where something is put out and they say a source says something, and then the celebrity's like, "I never said that," which I feel like for a while we didn't see, but now we're seeing it so often where celebrities are calling out like other news publications and whatnot. So I thought this was going to be that type of deal, but no, they did it. They're engaged.
Yeah.
And like we said, we're just so happy for Demi. This guy seems like a good fit for her. She says she's like the best she's ever been, and I believe that.
I know. She only says the sweetest things about him, and vice versa. So it seems like perfection at this point. Like you said, couldn't be more happy for these two. And yeah, you're right. It was a thing with like, oh, you know, sources say that, Demi Lovato, they're on the way towards engagement, and that could be happening very, very soon. And sometimes that's exactly what happens, and sometimes it doesn't. Like, remember when we were almost positive that Leo was going to propose to
I was going to say that, and we were like, we're calling it.
It happened.
Nope.
And it's been like at least over a year and a half since we thought that was going to happen. So you never know, but it happened for Demi. And like you said, I mean, that the ring is, I don't even know how she's going to be able to lift her hand. It's that massive. That thing's got to be heavy.
on one hand, I was going to say that it's good to have on your hand. Or no, I was going to say that I wouldn't want that on my hand because then I'm going to be nervous and I'm going to lose it. But I also feel like it's impossible to lose because it is so big.
It's huge.
Like, yeah. How do you lose something that's that big on your hand? You would know.
And that
an engagement ring, bigger the better. So you don't lose
it's like, and people, you know, you always see in movies and stuff that people drop their engagement ring down the drain. That one's not falling down the drain. It's too big. Won't even fit.
Yeah, that's like if you tried to drop it down a crack, even like the crack between an airplane when you're stepping on, you might drop something. No, it's going to get stuck because the diamond is just too large, and that's how it should be for Demi Lovato.
Definitely. And everybody is so happy for her. So are we. And she will be an absolutely beautiful bride. Oh my God. I'm just, the thought is really just amazing. She's all grown up. It's awesome.
Invite us to the wedding.
Yeah.
You and me.
So everyone knows that it was 10 years since One Direction was formed. 10 years ago, this past Friday, everyone was freaking out. And people expected something very big because it's been rumors for quite some time that One Direction was going to do something for their 10 years. Obviously, Harry Styles wrote a beautiful tribute on Instagram and Twitter, and you know how I feel about that. But the actual reunion itself wasn't necessarily the reunion everyone expected.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if something else is happening. And look, they did say that before this was going on, before, you know, the anniversary, they had come out and said there was going to be like some interactive website and videos and things like that. And it appears that's really all there is. I thought maybe like there would be some kind of virtual meetup of sorts. Maybe they all got on Zoom and had a little convo. But like you said, they all posted really nice things on social media just about the band starting and all the moments they've had together. And I spent like 5 hours refreshing the 10 years of 1D.com website thinking that like something magical was going to be on it. And it's like a cute website, but it's, you can just kind of like go through the last 10 years and see the things that they did. It's kind of just like if you're a fan, you knew all this stuff. So it was nostalgic to go through it all, but I feel like there wasn't really a lot of maybe new things. And then on top of that, like the website is like, it's like get your own personalized extra special anniversary mixtape by connecting to your Spotify or Apple Music. Which is literally like I could just go onto my phone and click on One Direction and press shuffle. And like that's that is a One Direction mixtape. So not really sure how incredible and extra special that is. But it's nice. It was a nice, it's a nice website. You can kind of go through things, see old pictures and whatnot. They put up a video on YouTube of the same kind of thing of them like going through big moments from the last 10 years. And then that was kind of it, it seems like. We heard from everyone except Zayn.
I feel like everyone knew that was going to happen. I have to be honest. Like Zayn just doesn't seem like a social media guy anymore, especially since he's with Gigi. Gigi's pregnant. They're on Yolanda's farm. They're very private. And also because it seems like Zayn straight up hates One Direction and hated it and hated the entire experience and wants nothing to do with those guys. Yeah. So you know what? It doesn't seem like he's going to say anything. And I think that everyone just needs to accept that fact and then stop, you know, saying, oh, Zayn doesn't care. Yeah, you know what? Zayn doesn't fucking care. It's unfortunate and it's sad and it's kind of fucked up because it is the reason why he became so famous and, you know, had so much success. But listen, he fucking hates it. So you're not going to hear from him.
Yeah, you can't really. And it's weird because I understand it. I totally get it. Like when the whole day went by and he didn't say anything, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But another part of me was like, wow, I kind of thought like maybe one tweet or so, you know, maybe something, but obviously just because it's such an easy way to please everyone. You know, everybody would have freaked out. Everybody would have been so happy.
I don't think Zayn cares.
But he doesn't care. That's what I'm saying. He does not care. He is happy in his own life. I hope it seems like it with, you know, Gigi and moving on to a different chapter. And this is just, he's done with it. Doesn't even, you know, want to acknowledge the anniversary, and that's fine. There's four other guys who are happy to post about it. So
I wonder if they text him at all and maybe just throw something out there. Like, hey, thinking of you on this special day. Ignores them. It's like, fuck these guys back at the farm.
Yeah. Like it's like interacting with an ex. It's like it's the anniversary of like a special moment. You're like, oh, maybe I should say something or maybe not. It's weird.
It is sad, but listen, you're not going to force the guy to care. At this point, I feel like it's far gone.
No, absolutely. It absolutely is. And maybe there's these, you know, they've been rolling out different kind of things on the YouTube page and whatnot over the weekend. So who knows? Maybe there'll be something down the line.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
More great news for everybody on this amazing day. Outer Banks has officially announced there will be a season two. All of the cast members posted like a puzzle piece to announce Outer Banks season two coming on Friday. Everyone was like, what does this mean? Meanwhile, you know, you could kind of tell what it meant. Before we get into talking about it, I want to say Chase Stokes was on the podcast just merely a week ago. And, you know, we did not interview him Thursday or Wednesday. And it came out on Friday. We did interview him a week before that. Yeah. Granted, I think he knew. We'll forgive him. We'll forgive John B. But I think he knew about season two. But obviously, they can't spoil it. We can't act like we're special. We had to find out like everyone else. But it was amazing. We knew this was coming. Why wouldn't they make a season two? There's no answer to that. So, of course, they were going to make a second one. I can't wait. Hopefully, they start filming soon. Because, you know, you don't know what they can and can't do right now with COVID going on.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, they're able to shoot. And hopefully, I get a cameo in season two.
I know. That's really what we're fighting for. And we have heard, you know, Chase had said that they would make something happen. I said this to you when we were recording the group chat. I've done this before. Once again, if the writers of Outer Banks want me to join in for the over-the-top dramatics, that's my specialty. So sign me up.
Please call her up.
I'll write a beautiful role for Rhea, and this is what I envision. They're in the Bahamas, and obviously, you know, shit hits the fan. Whatever causes them to, they have to come back to the Outer Banks. They come back to the Outer Banks, and you know, they're trying to be hidden. It's like the whole the whole thing. They're trying to be hidden. And maybe like Rhea's sitting with a friend outside, or, you know, she's outside. They walk past each other. I just want a close-up shot of Rhea. She like turns her over her shoulder and just goes, oh my God, was that John B? And that's it. Scene.
And scene. That's all I want. One line. And yes, everyone knows who John B is because they're looking for him. So it's
He's a runaway criminal.
Oh my God, John B. He's a criminal. Oh my God, I just saw him. Mm-hmm. I love that idea.
That John B? I just want you to say John B. Just need you to actually like say John B.
I want one line.
Yep.
I would prefer the line to include John B. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, that's perfectly okay. But just one line, Netflix. I'll pay my way. I'll literally pay for my flight. I'll do it all. I have a bunch of Dubin that I can wear. They don't have to worry about my wardrobe. And like I said, they think I'm a joke. They think I'm a fucking joke that doesn't know how to act. And I'm some podcaster who just talks about people and gossip and pop culture. And I mean nothing. I'm a talentless hack. But you know what, Netflix? You know what, Outer Banks?
You're trained.
I spent 10 years from when I was 8 to 18 years old going to acting classes every week. Commercial auditions, TV auditions, movie auditions, thousands and thousands. And you know what? Maybe I only got a few, but I still put in the fucking work, okay? And, yeah. And I just want one line. We sold all the Outer Banks merch. They didn't even make their own merch. Like, what are we talking about here? I'm frustrated they haven't called me yet.
Yeah. I mean, season two, not to toot our own horns, but season two, I think has a lot to do with us just because we pumped that show. Like that was in our blood. We just did nothing but talk about Outer Banks to everybody. Everybody.
I put my life on the line for this man. Mm-hmm. I said I would die for John B. You know what that means? It means I would run in front of a bus for him. I would run in front of a train. Mm-hmm. I would get lit on fire. I would die for the man. I would do all these things. And give me a little something.
Yep.
We talked to Bob Saget about it. We talked to Gronk about it. I'm just saying. Of course, they are very talented. And they did a great show. And that's why it is successful. But
you're not asking to be a cast member. You just want one line on one episode.
Do I think I would make a good JJ's girlfriend? Yes, but I'm not going to ask for that.
Oh, man.
I'm kidding. I really just want one line. That's it.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? We'll keep putting it out there and we'll see what happens because that would really be fantastic. And obviously, we're super excited for season two. That goes without saying.
We love that. Yeah. We love the show.
It's going to be outlandish and fantastic, and who knows where the hell they'll be, you know. And Maddie, they all did like a little video of them being like, season two, and she was like, see you all in the Bahamas. So maybe a majority of the season will be in the Bahamas. I feel like they're going to have to go to the Outer Banks at some point, so. And you're the queen of the Bahamas, so I don't know what they're missing.
I have
maybe you're on
passport.
A jet ski.
Oh! Fran, you literally just made me tear up. I don't know if I can continue my life if I don't ride in on a jet ski screaming John B. in season two of Outer Banks. If that doesn't fucking happen. In the Bahamas, this writes itself.
Oh, man.
This
okay, now
itself.
Here. Okay, alternate version. Alternate version.
Okay.
Maybe you are like some kind of lifeguard ocean person and kind of thing where like you become friends with Sarah and John B, but you don't really have a role, like you know not as much of that, but like they're, you know, I'm just thinking of them like maybe they're on the beach somewhere and there's some cops coming.
Yes, and I help
and
them
you
get
ride
out, and they have-
you ride on the jet ski and you're like, they're here for you, John B, let's go.
Yeah, and I'm like, Get your jet skis, let's go. And then him and Sarah hop on the two that are on the beach because I actually am the person that takes care of the jet skis on the beach. You know, that's always that person. So they're my rentals. I do the rentals. I've got one. They got two right behind me and we ride off together. And shortly, you know, I'm gone. Maybe I'm in one episode.
Yeah, but exactly. And then after that, they have to go back to the Outer Banks. So your character's gone.
I'm gone. Maybe I get killed. Maybe they shoot me and I'm off the show because you know the show. People die left and right. You're like, what?
Yep. Absolutely. The possibilities are endless. Those are just a few. Netflix, we're chock full of good ideas. So
let me throw me a script and let me audition and let me show you what I got. That's all I'm asking.
True.
You don't just have
just
to hand me
chance.
The role.
Just give her a chance.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to hand me the role. Give me an audition at least. And a callback, and then hire me.
And then the role.
Kissing strangers.
Okay, this weekend, Kissing Booth 2 came out on Netflix. If you have not watched the movie, do not listen to this segment. I will repeat myself. If you have not watched and you don't want it spoiled, do not listen to this segment because I have thoughts. I want to talk about the whole thing. I want to discuss the entire movie. Therefore, it will be spoiled. I will say, like I said in the intro, I got to watch the last 30 minutes again. But it was exactly what I expected. And you know that I was like very adamant on Elle and Noah. I didn't want their relationship to get messed up because, and I think it's because people compare The Kissing Booth and To All the Boys I Loved Before so much, which is fair that, you know, they came out at the same time. It was their same, similar vibes. When John Ambrose McLaren came in to All the Boys, I was like, no, it's not there. It doesn't work. Like, this isn't a good love triangle situation. The Kissing Booth 2, I think, has a much better love triangle situation because Marco is hot and a great character. And I feel like there's chemistry there. And I thought she was going to pick Marco. I really did. And I was going to be okay with it.
Yeah, I was expecting that because even though the movie's good, it kind of feels like one of those predictable love story movies. So
that's what it is. That's what you signed up for.
Yes. You thought she was going to go with Marco. But the fact that she went back to Noah, I was like, oh shit, maybe there'll be a third one of some sort and Marco's back in the picture. And then she ends up with Marco in the end because Noah does end up hooking up with Chloe. Because let me say, although Elle and Lee have this amazing friendship that also caused a lot of problems between Lee and his girlfriend, because it makes sense. Even I was getting annoyed at Elle. I was like, Elle, back the fuck off. Yeah. Lee is trying to hang out with his girlfriend. Yes, you guys are best friends. Yes, you guys can hang out, but you don't have to be up their ass so they can't even like do anything. So even I was getting annoyed with Elle, but I understand their friendship. They grew up together. Then when it got to Noah and Chloe, it just seemed a little too flirtatious instead of friendshipy for me. Like, when you watch Elle and Lee, you see friendship. When you watch Noah and Chloe, you see two hot people look like they want to bang each other.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. There's for sure more vibes. Even when Chloe was like, I'm the only person not like attracted to you, I was like, that's probably it's a big fat lie.
You're lying, Chloe. You're lying.
I will say I had texted you my like stream of consciousness like while watching the movie. I sent like 10 texts to Rhea like as I was watching the whole thing. And I did get annoyed with Elle because I feel like she jumped to a conclusion very quickly with Noah and was just like so adamant that something happened. And then I just felt so bad for Noah that he goes all the way out to watch the DDR competition and she kisses him right in front of his face. Like, that was ruthless.
That was ruthless. I was cringing out of my skin.
I felt like that should have been a bigger problem.
It should have been. I think it's because she thought that Noah was definitely cheating on her, but she didn't know. Yes. And she didn't even confirm it. She didn't say, Noah, I found this earring. I read your text. I think you're cheating on me. She just said, I have suspicions and didn't say why. So I was getting annoyed at that. And then she kissed Marco, even though the tension was there. I understand that they just found this performance of a lifetime. They won the $50,000. So I kind of understood the heat of the moment, but also, are you going to just cheat on your boyfriend because you think he's cheating on him, but you never found out because you didn't ask him or tell him why you thought he was cheating on you?
Yeah. And you know, and Marco,
I kind of like the second one better than the first. I have to be honest. Because I just thought there was a little more drama.
There's way more drama, way more players. Like it was way like with Marco and the Lee and Rachel stuff, there was definitely way more going on. And I also these movies crack me up because anybody who like takes these movies seriously, you don't know like what you're watching. They're supposed to be cringy and cheesy, and that's exactly what it was. And it's great for what it is. And that on top of that, it goes with like, oh, I I'm set on going to Berkeley, but like maybe I'll go to Harvard. Like I could just probably go to Harvard. And you know, once they get to the end and they find out she applies to other schools and she lies and says she got waitlisted at both of them. And then the end, and she's like, she just got into Berkeley and got into Harvard, which is so funny because it's like, okay, sure. She got into Harvard. Sure. But like the one interview that we saw her go on in Boston, I don't even know if they said what school it was for, if that was the one for Harvard or not. And the woman clearly was like, you got to be better at interviews.
Yeah.
Like it was clear the interview didn't go like that well. But of course she got into Harvard. So now there is this big dilemma. They did film, and I think this is public now. It wasn't public before, but I think it's public now. They did film The Kissing Booth 3 at the same time as The Kissing Booth 2. Just like they did to All the Boys, they did 2 and 3 together. They did the same thing with these two. I gotta say, I applaud Joey and Jacob because their chemistry is still there. The montage of them frolicking around Boston in the fall, I had tears in my eyes because I was just like, these two are so cute and I can't believe they had to do all these adorable lovey-dovey things all movie long and they're broken up. I don't know how they do that.
You had tears and I was laughing because I couldn't handle the awkwardness of thinking about the fact that they were broken up and he was with Zendaya and then they had to film this movie. I couldn't handle it. I was screaming at my TV and I made Hank watch with me. I was like, do you even know how big of a deal this is? They broke up and he's dating Zendaya and they have to film scenes together as if they're dating and they were dating. So now, like, is Zendaya mad? Is Joey, like, really upset? Does she go home and cry after she films these scenes because she's like, we're not together anymore? What about him? Does he think, oh, maybe I like Joey again? It's just my head was spinning. Right. Then they have a sex scene and she says she's gonna climb him like a jungle gym. And I'm like, Joey, that's your ex-boyfriend. But then I'm like, oh, wait, it's a movie. That's actually not what's happening. They're dating in the movie.
I know. And they're both great actors is the thing. Like, we've seen Joey and we, the two of us are massive fans of Joey King. We think she's absolutely amazing. And she's such a great actress. So it's like, obviously they're going to do a good job in the movie, but these people have souls and hearts and feelings. And I just can't imagine you film like a full day of having to flirt and make out with your ex-boyfriend who just so happens to be like one of the hottest people ever. And, and you have to go back to your trailer and be like, wow, can't wait to do that all again tomorrow.
It has to.
And you know, obviously I feel like they did limited press for this because of those reasons. And they did kind of speak on it in a little bit being like, yeah, you know, obviously we've broken up and doing this, but like, they didn't really say anything. They just talked around it and didn't really say anything. And Jacob was also asked about like long distance relationships Jacob's like, I don't really understand why people care about my life. Like, is really, he didn't really give an answer. It was just like, look, it's just super weird to me that people care so much about like my personal life. Which is super, you know, super fair on his behalf. I am one of those freaks that care. So, that's just unfortunate, that he is bothered by that, but I can absolutely understand why, especially when you have to do a movie and you know when you're going to get interviewed, people are going to ask about filming with your ex-girlfriend. Like, it's just, that's question number one on the list.
Right. And it's hard not to feel awkward about it, but I feel like at that point you just need to accept it.
Yeah. And they did a great job. Obviously, like I said, the chemistry is still there and there is going to be a Kissing Booth 3 because we were left on a cliffhanger. And they filmed, we know that they filmed the third along with the second, and without a doubt, Kissing Booth 2 was better than To All the Boys I Loved Before 2. P.S. 100%. I Still Love You. Like, I watched P.S. I Still Love You one time, and then I had really no desire to go back and watch it again. The Kissing Booth 2, I will absolutely be watching again.
Yeah, I'll probably watch that tonight while I'm just chilling.
Yeah, it's great, and I'm not going to lie, The Kissing Booth, the first one, I had watched with Joe also, I kind of as a joke, and he was like, wait, this one's kind of good. And he got mad at me that I watched the second one without him. He was like, when I posted on my Instagram that I was watching it, and he replied and was like, are you kidding me that you're watching this without me? And I was like, I'm sorry. I don't have any other time. I got to watch it so we can talk about it on the show. And he was like, sure, sure. Likely story.
You can just watch it together again.
Yes,
you have
exactly.
No issue with that.
Exactly. We'll give it another rewatch. But Netflix has really cornered this like teen romance movie category. And it's great. I love it. I keep on making them.
I've been having a hard time adjusting. I had the shiniest wheels, now they're rusting. I didn't know if you'd care if I came back. I have a lot of regrets about that. Pulled the car off the road to the lookout. Could have followed my fears all the way down. And maybe I don't quite know what to say, but I'm here in your doorway. I just wanted you. I just wanted you to know that this is me trying.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Taylor Swift's new album, Folklore, came out this week. And honestly, it shocked all of us because it was a surprise drop. We did not know that this was coming. We had one day to prepare. And it is, I think, beautiful. I've listened multiple times now. I've sat with it. It's I've digested. And I just feel like she captured the mood of everybody over the last few months, like kind of being locked down. Obviously it has like a little bit more of a somber feel to it, I would say, but it's beautiful in like a haunting way, I guess, right, is the best way I can describe it.
I really enjoyed the vibe of it. I think that the storytelling was amazing. The lyrics in it were beautiful, and there were so many standout parts of it. We're going to go through it from the top of the album to the bottom. We love doing that when new albums come out. And this one was just such a gift. And I feel like what you were saying about how it captured everyone's mood, and the fact that she wrote it in quarantine makes a lot of sense. I mean, everyone was sitting in their homes doing nothing, you know, having a lot of downtime. So I feel like it does make sense that it was slower and not like the usual, you know, sometimes we get some pop jams out of Taylor Swift and that wasn't really in this. And it feels like it's more like a winter album that you're listening to on like a rainy or snowy day. But it was perfect because in New York when it came out, it was raining and it was a rainy Friday. And listening it through the first time early that morning was just majestic, one might say.
It really was. It really was amazing. And like you said, all in quarantine, she wrote it with the help of some amazing people, and it's a different vibe, an alternative album. Like, you know, the album's called Folklore. It is very folky, which is different and really cool. And I also just like that she explained that a lot of it is kind of folktale-esque. Like, not every single song is about her. Like, people always analyze the lyrics of every Taylor song to try and figure out who she's talking about and what this is about and what this is about. And she had said, you know, she was inspired by other things, other stories, other people's lives, and like wrote about that instead of kind of like maybe taking stuff from herself. I also feel like it was cool because it wasn't like, I feel like there are some lyrics that are about some people or about something. I just feel like she took so many feelings that she's had maybe over the past few years and dropped it in different songs on this album and just like fully expressed herself in just, like you said, beautiful, beautiful lyrics.
So we're going to start from the top. Like I said, this one is called The One.
Yes.
The first song on the album.
Some new shit.
pause it right there.
I was gonna say, we don't have to play the rest of the song because that line is perfect.
Pause it right there. First line, I think everybody was like, oh shit, this is gonna be good. One, because she, like, great line. And Taylor is cursing on this album, like, a lot. Like, not obviously, there, you know, shit has happened before, but, you know, there's the F-bomb is here, there.
You don't usually get a shit within the first lyric. And no. That's what she did to us, and we thank you, Taylor. Exactly. So I don't think we need to play that one further, because I feel like that just grasped the whole album in a nutshell in that one lyric. We'll move on to Cardigan, which is one of my favorites right now. Obviously, when you have an album, whole thing, the favorites jump around, depending on how many times you listen to it. So let's play this one.
Vintage tea, brand new phone, high heels on, cobblestones. When you are young, they assume you know nothing. Sequin smile, black lipstick, sensual politics. When you are young, they assume you know nothing.
What this song reminds me of is a Thursday in October, close to Halloween, bordering November. Mm-hmm. That's what I think of. It's a Thursday in October. The air is crisp, but you could wear, you know, a light to heavy jacket. You're feeling good. The air smells like fall, maybe pumpkins. That's the vibe I'm getting here. And I just can't wait to listen to this album then as well.
Definitely. So Taylor also said that there were three songs on the album that were kind of like a love triangle situation, you know, like young love triangle situation. People think it's Cardigan, August, and Betty. So this would be one of them. And people also think August and Illicit Affairs they think it could maybe also be Illicit Affairs. And so this is also the song that she put out a video for, and it's an absolutely beautiful video. Visually, some similarities to Harry Styles' video, which obviously people noticed with the water and the piano and everything. And you can tell, like, there it has that love triangle or aspect to it a little bit, or you don't really know. I liked at the beginning of the second verse, she says, "A friend to all is a friend to none. Chase two girls, lose the one." Ooh. There's so many good
spicy. Like,
I know, that was a good one. I think those are my favorite lyrics from that song.
Moving on, we have the last great American dynasty.
Rebecca rode up on the afternoon train. It was sunny. Her salt box house on the coast took a mind off St. Louis. Bill was the heir to the Standard Oil name and money. And the town said, how did a middle class divorce they do it? The wedding was charming, if a little gauche. There's only so far new money goes. They picked out a home and called it Holiday House. Their parties were tasteful, if a little loud. The doctor had told him to settle down. It must have been her fault his heart gave out.
So I feel like this is one of the ones where she kind of got an idea and it just turned into like a storyline. Obviously, she has that house in Rhode Island, and I feel like she's kind of talking about the history of that. She references Rebecca, which people think is Rebecca Harkness, and I just feel like she kind of has got, like she said, she got like these ideas and just kind of created these stories for these people, and I think it's really cool. Like, it's just like a whole, like, I want her to make music videos for all of these songs, because I feel like they could just be mini movies with other people. Like, she could get people to star. Like, I was like, she should do some kind of Betty Cardigan August like combination where it's just like a short film.
She absolutely could do that. That's a great idea. And I also feel like you said, a lot of it is storytelling. Gigi Hadid posted on her story to one of the songs she wrote, "This is one of my favorite story that T tells." So I guess Taylor Swift just tells her friends stories. I want a friend in my life to read me bedtime stories. And if it's Taylor Swift, then that's even better. Okay, the next song is Exile.
I can see you standing, honey, with his arms around your body, laughing, but the joke's not funny at all. And it took you 5 whole minutes to pack us up and leave me with it, holding all this love out here in the hall. I think I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending. You're not my homeland anymore, so what am I defending now? You were my town, now I'm in exile seeing you out. I think I've seen this film before.
This song, I want to just, like, crawl into bed and have, like, a lot of pillows and a lot of blankets and just listen to it with maybe, like, one single tear beautifully streaming down my face, you know?
And like, a candle lit.
Oh, I mean, Bon Iver's voice is so beautiful, and it just like strikes you, like just like it just hits you. And the two of them together, I thought it was an amazing combination.
For some reason, I pictured myself owning a horse while petting the horse and grooming the horse, but not yet riding it, you know, like yeah. I'm preparing it to be ridden.
Yes.
And I'm listening to the song, and it's a gloomy day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like the things that they, and once again, it's just these lyrics are so good, and I love this song because I keep using the word haunting, but I feel like that's the feeling I get with a lot of
chilling.
These. Yeah, chilling. You know, the like for them saying, I think I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending, and then it's just like very slow and beautiful and unexpected combination from these two. Clearly Taylor was very happy to work with him, and I would assume vice versa, and it was fantastic. It's also very interesting that literally everything is lowercase. Everything's lowercase on this album, except for Bon Iver. Like, it's like Exile featuring Bon Iver, but the B and the I are still capitalized.
Well, that's his name. I feel like it would be disrespectful to not capitalize his name.
Absolutely, but she and everything else is lowercase.
But everything else isn't a name of a person. Oh, yeah. Besides Betty, I guess. But
and American, Great and Last Great American Dynasty, she kept that all lowercase. So I don't know. I don't know if that
I don't
has
know.
Any.
I feel like
I don't know if that has
name.
Any meaning, or if you just
maybe
wanted
she
to be
just saw the trend
just
on
wanted
Twitter,
to be capitalized,
or just like on Twitter, how like you see these people go viral, they don't capitalize any of their tweets, and it's some strategic thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
yes.
maybe she knew.
Maybe.
All right, the next one is My Tears Ricochet.
We gather here, we line up, weeping in a sunlit room. And if I'm on fire, you'll be made of ashes too. Even on my worst day, did I deserve, babe, all the hell you gave me? 'Cause I loved you, I swear I loved you. Till my dying day, I didn't have it in myself to go with grace.
Okay, I love this one. I love this one.
So do I. I'm absolutely absolutely obsessed with this one. When she goes into I didn't have it in myself to go with grace, goosebumps every single time.
It's something about the way she says the word grace.
I know. It
that
really
gives me butterflies.
It really does. And, you know, obviously everyone's been talking about the line, and if I'm dead to you, why are you at the wake? I also love, there's so many good ones in this one. You wear the same jewels that I gave you as you bury me. And when you can't sleep at night, you hear my stolen lullabies. I feel like there's maybe some Scooter, Scott Borchetta, Big Machine aspect to this a little bit, just like, I don't think the whole song, but I feel like she puts certain lyrics that maybe alludes to those moments. Like, when you can't sleep at night, you hear my stolen lullabies. I just think of them owning the rights to all of Taylor's old music, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Good connecting those together, Francesca. Yeah.
Thank you.
I will say that the way that she sings it also slow, like it's such a, you know, dagger, like if I'm dead to you, why are you at the wake? But she says it so sweet and nice, and it just makes me feel happy, even though it's like a
I know. It's just like the way that she sings these songs, and you don't even realize until you go back and read the lyrics without listening to it that you're like, oh shit.
I love it.
Yeah.
The next song is Mirrorball. So this song to me, I see being played in multiple kinds of movies. One being Aquamarine, that type of feel. I don't know why it reminds me of Aquamarine. Or somebody is riding their bike somewhere. They just got into a big fight or they're running away and they're riding their bike into a long road that is dark and it's gloomy. It's a rainy day. And this song is playing. Maybe they're even being freed of something. Maybe they're riding off and it's a freeing feeling, but this song is playing.
Yeah. And of course, my sick brain, I just see Mirrorball and thing of Dancing with the Stars.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So that's
I don't know if this song fits for Dancing with the Stars, but
no,
yes.
Nope. Something that I just need to push past. I also want to say, I forgot about this. I wanted to say it for my tears ricochet, that being track 5 on the album, when always like track 5 has had a significance in her albums, I feel like meant something too, like just that the words were just like a little bit more important, you know,
that she wants to be on Dancing with the Stars.
No, my tears ricochet is track 5. I forgot about
sorry,
it I
we
wanted
just...
to say before
oh,
that
okay,
would be
okay.
Hilarious if this Mirrorball was just a hidden message that she wants to be on Dancing with the Stars. I don't that would be a
That's
big win
it.
For Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, that can't possibly be it.
Yes, but Mirrorball is sweet. I like it. It's definitely one of the ones that like stuck out right away for me, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
7.
Please picture me in the trees. I hit my peak at 7.
I love this one because it just starts off right away. Like usually when there's a song, you like hear a little music and then somebody joins in. She's just singing right away.
I know. And she just sounds like an angel. Like it's just
in every song.
But some of them are just like, I feel like a little bit more angelic. I don't know. It's hits you very strongly, I feel like, with like the her beautiful angelic voice. I like the lyrics to this one a lot. I like the end of one where she says, and just like a folk song, our love will be passed on. I just feel like obviously there's been a lot of references to her kind of telling stories and sharing other parts of her life and just like being more of a storyteller, which is just very cool, and I like that a lot. It's cute. This one's very cute.
Next song is August.
Salt air and the rust on your door. I never needed anything more. Or whispers of are you sure? Never have I ever before. But I can see us lost in the memory. August slipped away into a moment in time. It was never mine. And I can see us twisted in bed sheets. August slipped away like a bottle of wine. Cause you were never mine.
Love this one.
I
also one of my favorites.
Oh my God. Me too. I also love this one. I just love, like, the love triangle thing I think is so cool and so different. And I personally think August is, from the point of view of the girl that James, let's say, you know, cheated with. And so it's like Betty was the girl cheated on, and James and this person is the quote unquote other woman. And, you know, like I said, there's been a debate if it was August or if it was illicit affairs, but I just feel like this one has more of a youthful feel to it. Yeah. And it seems like maybe it seems like it's a high school romance, or like maybe before going to college. Like she says in August, will you call when you're back at school? It makes me think that, you know, this was like August of this of in the heat of the summer.
Yes.
This happened. Maybe they go to different schools. Yes. And they don't really know each other, but there's rumors.
You're speaking it.
Yes. And like they're young and it's a summer thing, and he thought he would get away with it and he didn't, which we obviously hear in Betty, so we'll talk about that when we get to it. But I really love this one. I think there's just something about the melody of this one that I really like too.
I agree. The next one is This Is Me Trying.
I've been having a hard time adjusting. I had the shiniest wheels, now they're rusting. I didn't know if you'd care if I came back. I have a lot of regrets about that. Pulled the car off the road to the lookout. Could have followed my fears all the way down. And maybe I don't quite know what to say, but I'm here in your doorway. I just want.
All right, so this one is like the rest slow. Not one of my favorites, but still obviously very good.
Yes. I thought the instrumental on this was really nice, I thought that was like the highlight of this one. And whatever this, I don't know the technical term for it, but like whatever the way that they are using her voice, and like the way that her voice is kind of edited after to have that kind of like echo angelic thing is really cool. This one also some phenomenal lyrics. They told me all of my cages were mental, so I got wasted like all my potential.
So that is going to be just one of the most famous lines, because she nailed it.
Girls across the world will be making their Instagram captions, I got wasted like all my potential.
As they should. You know, we should not shame anybody for using these fire lyrics as their Instagram captions, because
everybody gets a pass for this album.
You have
you absolutely
just like
get a
you
pass.
Get one pass to do one Drake lyric, you get a pass to do Taylor Swift as well.
Yes, especially for this album, for sure.
The next one is Illicit Affairs.
Ooh.
Make sure nobody sees you leave. Hood over your head, keep your eyes down. Tell your friends you're out for a run. You'll be flushed when you return. Take the road less traveled by. Tell yourself you can always stop. What started in beautiful rooms ends with meetings in parking lots. And that's the thing about illicit affairs and clandestine meetings and longing stares. It's born from just one single glance, but it dies and it dies and it dies a million little times.
So what do you think this one is about?
See, so this is one of the ones where, like, I understand how people thought maybe this one went with the love triangle, but I feel like this feels more of a different story. I feel like maybe this is more of a, I don't know. It has like workplace vibes to me. Only because
do
like,
you
there's,
think this is not her? I think that this is a
no. I think
of
this is
else.
Like a made up. Yeah, right. I think this is like a made up story where it's like First of all, clandestine is just such a great word, and it's good in the it's great in the song. And every time I sing this song, I like when there's one word that just like pops, like in the other verse is like that you picked out just for him.
Yeah, the ending just goes a little higher. Just,
yes, I'm a big fan of that. Plus, there's these lines, you know, she says, "Don't call me kid, don't call me baby." I just feel like that has a vibe that maybe an older person is saying this, somebody that who is married, perhaps, and that's the situation. Like, it just seems like she's in that the person is in a vulnerable situation. Look at this idiotic fool that you made me. So for sure, this one has like it's a cool. It's like it's a story. I feel like this is just something that has no connection to Taylor. Unless Taylor is having some illicit affairs, I don't know.
I don't think she is. I think that she's just like, ooh, it's risky if
I
talk about it from my point of view, even though it didn't happen. It's just a little fun imagination for her.
Okay. Yes.
Next one is Invisible Strain.
Green was the color of the grass where I used to read at Centennial Park. I used to think I would meet somebody there. Teal was the color of your shirt when you were 16 at the yogurt shop. You used to work out to make a little money. Time, curious time, give me no compasses, give me no signs. Were there clues I didn't see? And isn't it just so pretty to think?
This one I like a lot because I feel like it has cool phases. I feel like she is referencing maybe multiple past loves, different ones at different times, like when she was younger and as she got older. And it's just like it's a true topic like this, you know, when you after you have that kind of relationship with someone, you always feel like there is that invisible string that ties you to them for like a long time. And like each section, I feel like she was talking about somebody else, and then obviously everybody freaked out over the line they think is about Joe Jonas.
And what are your thoughts on that? Because we did do a drunk TikTok about this, but I'd like you to expand a little more.
I forget about that. I do think this is Joe Jonas. She says, "Cold was the steel of my axe to grind for the boys who broke my heart. Now I send their babies presents." I feel like that just makes the most sense. She obviously had a big axe to grind with Joe Jonas. I feel like that was like a major breakup in her life that inspired a lot of songs. I also saw some T-Swift stans notice that Fearless, Forever and Always is track 11 on Fearless, Invisible String, track 11 on Folklore. And she and Sophie, I feel like, always had not a relationship, but Sophie has always been a fan of Taylor, and like they've done things together. So I feel like they're all in such a good place now, and that Taylor would absolutely send Joe and Sophie a gift. I feel like that's very reasonable.
Right, because I just feel like Sophie Turner is the type of person to be friends with everybody, so it would make sense that her and Taylor Swift would be friends, and that she would kind of just get over the Joe Jonas thing. I mean, it's been so long now, and Joe Jonas is married and having a baby. I think it's time Taylor Swift moves on, and I feel like that is where this is going. And like you said, Sophie and Taylor, it just makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely does. I also love the line, "Hell was the journey, but it brought me heaven." Another fantastic line, Taylor. Okay. Next.
What did you think I'd say to that? Does a scorpion sting when fighting back? They strike to kill, and you know I will. You know I will. What do you sing on your drive home? Do you see my face in the neighbor's lawn? Does she smile? does she mouth fuck you forever?
Taylor.
Every time you call me crazy, I get more crazy. What about that?
Nice F word from Taylor right there. Love to hear it. Gets me pumped up. I'm like, oh my God, this woman should not be cursing, but she should at the same time because we love it.
I know. I agree. This one, I feel like, is super super powerful. It's something that I think is just her speaking about so many times where she has been called crazy or, oh, that Taylor Swift, she's crazy, all these things, you know, just gets tossed around so much that she says, you know, what a shame she went mad. No one likes a mad woman. You made her like that. I also feel like there are maybe, this is what I would think, maybe some Kim Kanye situation here or Scooter
That's
situation
what people were
here.
Saying.
I know. And look, I could see it. She writes, they say move on, but you know I won't. And women like hunting witches too, doing your dirtiest work for you. It's obvious that wanting me dead has really brought you two together. Like, it feels like she's speaking to a couple, you know, and that there's like this binding time. Like, every time you call me crazy, I get more crazy. What about that? Like, how about you think about how your words affect other people, you know?
It very well could be a shot at Kim and Kanye. I mean, we know that she's taken shots at them before. I feel like she'll continue to do so as well as they are still causing drama. I mean, the drama was brought back during quarantine, so it would make sense why she would throw a little something in there because that's what was going on.
Right. And then towards the end too, like she references a wife again, you know, the master of spin has a couple side flings. Good wives always know she should be mad. She should be scathing like me. But no one likes a mad woman. What a shame she went mad. And then she pauses and she says, you made her like that. So I just feel like it's, you know, I don't know. It seems very personal. And maybe it could also just be an open letter almost to all the men who have tried to, you know, take her down or say she's crazy or try and diminish her for whatever reason. And she's just like, fuck you.
And you make me crazy.
Yep, exactly.
The next song is Epiphany.
Keep your helmet, keep your life, son. Just a flesh wound. He's your rifle. Crawling up the beaches now. Things you just can't speak about. With you I serve, with you I fall down. What you breathe in, what you breathe in.
Another one that is just instant goosebumps as soon as it starts. It's another very slow, very like euphoric epiphany, very, and I keep using the same words, but it's like there's so many of the same
vibes.
I feel
like the entire album could just be described as those same words though, so it makes sense. They all have a similar vibe. They're not very different, but they are at the same time. The next one is Betty, which has a few things tied into it.
Betty, I won't make assumptions about why you switched your homeroom, but I think it's because of me. Betty, one time I was riding on my skateboard when I passed your house. It's like I couldn't breathe. You heard the rumors from Inez. You can't believe a word she says most times. This time it was true. The worst thing that I ever did was what I did to you. But I if I just showed up at your party? Would you have me? Would you want me? Would you tell me to go fuck myself? Or lead me to the garden? In the garden, would you trust me if I told you it was just a summer thing? I'm only 17, I don't know anything, but I know I miss you.
I feel like this is a really fun one and obviously has a few things tied into it. Fran, would you like to explain what is tied into it? I feel like you were excited about this one.
I was. This is one of my favorites as well. I just feel like this one obviously goes with the love triangle situation. It seems like maybe it's coming from the point of view of the boy who did the cheating. They write, like a figment of my worst intention. She said, James, get in, let's drive. So she's saying that this is the point of view of James. And she also uses... Taylor used the name Inez and she used the name James in this song, which are both Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively's children's names. That's two of them. And they do have three children, but they never announced the name of their third kid. So obviously the name of the song is Betty. And it's like, why would she use Betty? Like, I feel like this is very clearly the name of their third kid, and they're very, very close. I'm sure Taylor got permission and they said absolutely go for it. And I think it's just really cute. It's such like, it's just a very sweet way. I feel like Taylor does these things for her friends to just give them like little, you know, messages in these songs just to show how much she cares about them, to like include them in a song. You know, I feel like that's just so cool.
Right. And when you really think about how close they are, it just makes me happy because you're like, oh my God, you don't even see them together, but they're best friends. Like they are best friends, just like us. They probably talk all the time. She talks about her kids. Taylor Swift also sends them presents. It's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. I feel like it's really sweet. And this is one of my favorites. I love the harmonica and it ties in the whole thing. Also, this one's written by Taylor Swift and William Bowery. A lot of people were freaking out about William Bowery, if this is a different kind of alias. People were saying that this was Joe, that her boyfriend was co-writing these songs. Who knows? But it seems like it's definitely another mystery person. So people think it might be Joe. I don't know about that, but would be cute if it was.
It would be very cute.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's Blake Lively.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Ryan Reynolds. The next song is called Peace.
Coming of age has come and gone. Suddenly this summer it's clear. I never had the courage of my convictions, as long as danger is near. And it's just around the corner, darling, 'cause it lives in me. No, I can never give you peace. I'm a fire and I'll keep your brittle heart warm. If you cascade ocean wave blues come, all these people think love's for show, but I would die for your secret. The devil's in the details, but you got a friend in me. Would it be enough if I could never give you peace?
I love this one. This is also one of my favorites. I would put it in my
top
three.
Can I just say that I heard this song and I was like, this is one of the best songs I've heard, just like in general, in a while.
Wow, Noah, that is some big credit.
I was like, I didn't know Taylor Swift was capable of this, so. Not like a mean way, just like it's so different than like
it is so
what
different.
She usually does.
It's so different. I love this one too. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of people thinking, oh, did she and Joe break up? There's like breakup vibes to some of these songs. For me, I feel like this is almost how I see it, this is almost a love letter to Joe. Some of these lines, it's like, all these people think love's for show, but I would die for you in secret. Give you my wild, give you a child, give you the silence that only comes when two people understand each other. Family that I chose, now that I see your brother as my brother, is it enough? And I just feel like her line, like, I'll never give you peace, just means like, she's Taylor Swift. She's going to be Taylor Swift forever. They'll never escape that. And is that going to be enough? What she can give him, like, is that enough? Because
she is, like I said, she's Taylor Swift, and there's always going to be maybe drama or stuff like that. Like, you know, she says, your integrity makes me seem small. I talk shit with my friends. It's like, I'm wasting your honor. Like, I just, you know, like maybe he, this is how I have interpreted it. And I feel like it kind of, it makes sense that, you know, it's an interesting concept. Another very beautiful song.
There was one other Easter egg that I saw people like talking about. Then like the lyric video, it says robbers to the east. It's all in lowercase. And then it says clowns to the west, and west is capitalized. East is not capitalized.
Wow. That's a shot at
Love
Kanye.
That. Love that.
All right. Last song on the album is called Hoax.
My only one, my smoking gun, my eclipsed sun, this has broken me down. My twisted knife, my sleepless night, my windless fight, this has frozen my ground. Stood on the cliffside screaming, give me a reason. Your faithless love's the only hoax I believe in. Don't want no other shade of blue but you. No other sadness in the world would do. My best laid plan, your sleight of hand, my barren land, I am ash from your fire.
So I feel like this was a good song to end with. It was, even though the tone is once again slow, I feel like it's kind of a love song.
Yeah, there's just so many, like, I have different thoughts every time I read the lyrics to so many of these songs. Like, there's some lines where I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. And then some lines that where I'm like, oh shit, like this isn't, you know, it's intense. When she says, I left a part, you know, I left a part of me back in New York. You knew the hero died. So what's the movie for? You knew it still hurts underneath my scars from when they pulled me apart. You knew the password, so I let you in the door. You knew you won, so what's the point of keeping score? You knew it still hurts underneath my scars from when they pulled me apart, but what you did was just as dark. Darling, this is
so maybe
as
this
hard
is not a love song.
As when they pulled me apart. I it could be both.
It, like, goes back and
thing
forth.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it could be the up, it could be the down. It goes back and forth. Because she says that, but then it's like, my only one, my kingdom come undone, my broken drum, you have beaten my heart. Don't want no other shade of blue but you. Like, is she saying there has been sadness from this relationship, but this is the only sadness that she wants? Like,
right, and she said the only hoax I'll fall for is you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't, it's very interesting. It definitely is a good, I feel like, a very, like you said, a fitting last song on the album. To close, what are your current top three, if you can do it?
Oh, My Tears Ricochet, I think, is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two would be Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And number three would be Betty.
Yeah. I think I'm one, Betty, two, My Tears Ricochet, three, August. And then I'm very torn, like four is like, it might be Exile, it might be Peace, like it's changed. And I feel like this is what happens when you listen to any Taylor Swift album, it changes the more you listen to it. But that's how I feel right now. So I'll probably stick to it. But it was really a beautiful album. I mean, thank you to Taylor. What an unexpected great gift.
We just want to close out this podcast by thanking Taylor Swift for dropping this album on us out of nowhere. Usually we need to like try and find some clues, and it's weeks and weeks of leading up to it. Yeah. No, she just dropped it on us, gave us these feels and these beautiful vibes that we're going to continue listening to, like I said, into fall and winter, because it fits perfectly for that time.
Absolutely.
Are you guys going to grade it or no?
Oh,
this is hard for me to grade. I don't know.
I mean,
this is a solid A for me.
Yeah. I don't know if it's A plus or it's definitely right. not A minus.
I'm thinking A like is in the 93 to 97 range.
Percentile.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I would say a 94.
Yeah. That feels
if we're
about,
going
that 100, feels about right.
Because I didn't want to do out of 10.
Yeah. No, that feels about right.
It's a 94 out of 100.
Yeah.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We hope you had a beautiful time listening to Taylor Swift's album, and we will talk to you guys on Thursday.
I just landed on the surf today. Heard some people acting crazy over something strange. Brothers be paying for diamonds that they can't afford, just to keep up the appearance from a Polaroid. All I see is something crazy I don't understand. Ladies making babies just to keep a man. Fellas chasing Stellas when they got a Pam. They go from Stephanie to Bethany, from Jeffany to never be. So, how does it feel? That's what they say. Ooh, must be insane. Oh, yeah. Somebody has got to tell me, yeah. Oh, yeah. Swipe right, deep like 5 times. Don't know what it sounds like, but someone told me it's a little Marvin with some candlelight. A little ocean on the weekend with a can of Sprite. I mean, a loving wife. Ooh, love is such a mystery. I'm so perplexed by all the things my eyes have let me see. People think that love is things like physicality, when in reality it's meant to hold you down like gravity. Feel, how does it feel? Yeah, hey, oh, it goes like this. You see, now how am I supposed to find love if I don't understand love? How am I supposed to be love? Ooh. And if I have to buy love, then I don't really want love. If this is what it means, the fighting and the screams, you want dependency, I need sincerity, oh. Hey. I gotta know, I ain't too sure. Somebody tell me, how does it feel to be loved, yeah. Oh, yeah.